Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of July 7, 2023. This week we pray in thanksgiving for the gifts God gives and the gift of living in freedom under God. Our first reading is from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. Our next reading is from Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul writes, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." Our next reading is from Matthew chapter 11. At that time Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the reading for our discussion is from Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. More and more, the family is getting to be a disjointed thing. We have families where sons and daughters move great distances from their parents and their extended families, and sometimes there comes a point where people may decide to move closer to the place from which they came. There is a place that I have never lived, but it is well familiar to me. My parents took me there when I was growing up, and I visited a number of times. I would have no connection with this place except for the fact that my grandparents and cousins lived there. Northwest Iowa is a place where the distances start to get few and far between civilization. In that area, you will find endless fields of corn and soybeans, but the little town of Rolph, Iowa is near the farms and fields where my parents grew up. In that town is St. Paul's Lutheran, where my grandmother attended for many years. Her final resting place was the community cemetery nearby, a place we used to take flowers for many years to place on my grandfather's grave. My aunt, uncle, and cousin are there. My great-grandfather is buried in the area across the way, as well as extended family. I never lived in that place, but the connections go deep. Not far away are other family members who lived in the 1800s, even one who fought in the Civil War. Because our families are so scattered, sometimes we lose connections with our past, our history. Perhaps you have an ancestral home, a place where you can identify many past family members and relations. Luke chapter 2 begins with the census. Luke identifies which census this was, the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. You want to register people so you can control them and tax them. That is the way of this world. Jesus came to bring about a different kind of world. Joseph lived in Galilee. Nazareth itself was about 64 miles from Jerusalem and 70 from Bethlehem, with Bethlehem just being slightly southwest of Jerusalem. The journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem to Bethlehem was almost entirely south. Bethlehem was the ancestral city of David. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. Jesus, who would be the bread of life, was born in the house of bread. Joseph and Mary were engaged, and Jesus was born in a stable, laid in a manger, a feeding trough, because there was no place for them in the inn. I believe that the feeding trough was stone and rectangular, the kind of thing that an animal could not easily knock over. Interestingly, we could say that this situation could have foreshadowed things to come. The stone resting place for the little one might remind us of the solemn, important resting place to come, the newly hewn tomb many years later. An angel appears to the common shepherds. There's good news even for them. The angel informs them of the Savior's birth, and then the heavenly host, joined in praising God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Notice that God does not announce all of this to the powers that be in the world. He does not announce this to the so-called deep state. The shepherds go to Bethlehem, where they find the sign just as the angel had told them, with Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. The text says, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. While the shepherds glorify and praise God for what they had heard and seen, that they had seen the Savior, the Messiah, Mary was trying to understand it all. We know the rest of the story. It is not news to us. But what did Mary really know? The angel had appeared to her previously. She learned she would conceive miraculously. She would have a son who she was to name Jesus. He would be great and would be called the Son of the Most High. He would hold the eternal throne of David that God had intended to establish and reign over the house of Jacob forever and have an everlasting kingdom. The crucifixion and suffering were never mentioned. The ministry of teaching and discipling and healing were never mentioned. The things the shepherds are telling her are news to her. The seed of the woman promised from time immemorial is now born into the dark world. At the end of 8 days, Jesus will be circumcised and officially named Jesus, the name the angel had said. Jesus is a name pulled out of Hebrew, the Greek version of the Hebrew name Yeshua. The word comes from the Hebrew word to deliver or save. What the angel told Joseph in a dream actually gave us more clues as to what the Savior, the Messiah, the seed of the woman would do. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. That text there was from Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 21. Names generally have meaning. Coming from established words in various languages, and Hebrew names in Scripture are generally quite significant. This name Jesus matches with the mission of the Messiah. He truly will save the people, not from the Romans or any other nation, but from the old evil foe and the sin which all humanity has been tainted with from the beginning of the world. Now Jesus is presented in Jerusalem before the Lord according to the law of Moses. The firstborn male must be presented in this way, and a sacrifice is to be offered to God. In this instance, a pair of turtle doves. This is a sacrifice for someone who is not of means. It is not a lamb that is sacrificed. Here, we might also be reminded of the symbol of peace with God, the dove, the animal that was sent out from the Ark of Noah that returned with an olive leaf. When they came to the temple with the little child, a stranger took the child up in his arms and blessed him. I know that many folks just love to hold babies. Did this man just take him up in his arms, or did he get permission first? But sweep him up he does. God's Holy Spirit was on a man named Simeon, a righteous and devout man. God's Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not die before he saw the Christ, God's promised seed. Throughout history, there had been quite a lot of debate about who the Messiah would be and when the Messiah would come. But the original purpose always should lead back to the very beginning of time, when God declared that a seed of the woman would be sent into the world to crush the head of the serpent. I am reminded of Methuselah, the oldest recorded man, whose name was a prophecy, son of Enoch, the holy man who walked with God and did not die. The name he gives his son Methuselah is a prophecy. Methuselah's name was a name which meant, when he dies, it will be sent. There are some indications in that text of Genesis that it was thought that the Messiah might be sent in that time. But what was really sent when Methuselah died was the flood, which was sent in the year of Methuselah's death. Simeon actually knew when Jesus arrived on the scene that this was the Messiah, because God had revealed it to him. Messiah is a word which means anointed one. In this instance, Messiah refers to the Savior, the one sent to save the people from their sins. That his mission was a heavenly one was difficult for folks to comprehend. Simeon's beautiful blessing is found in the liturgy in what is called the Nunc Dimittis, which means now depart. A reflection of God allowing his servant to see the Savior before he died. This is the one who will be a light to the Gentiles in the glory of God's people Israel. When Simeon speaks those words, he's talking about the Christ. So we have more clues here. This Savior is not just for Israel, but will also bring light to the Gentiles being all the other nations. He has come to gather in God's harvest of people in all times and places. But Simeon has ominous words for Mary. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, likely an indication of the agonizing sorrow Mary herself would experience at the cross to see her son crucified. To this point, these words are the strongest declaration that he soon is going to face troubling trials and tribulations. A prophetess, Anna, was also there attesting to the child's importance, giving thanks to God for this child. Mary and Joseph would return to Nazareth, where we learn the child would grow up, filled with wisdom, a child on whom was God's favor. The next vignette here in chapter 2 is from when Jesus was 12 years old. He and his parents would always go to Jerusalem, making the journey for the feast of the Passover. As I said, it was about 64 miles, so it was a trek. If you traveled about 10 miles a day, it would take a week, but fit people could walk 10, 20 or 30 miles, and these people were well used to walking. A good 15 or 16 would put you there in about 4 days. The group would go in a caravan, and upon their return, the parents noticed that something is amiss. Jesus is not with the group. They'd already traveled for a day, and they found that he was not even among their relatives and acquaintances. So they go back to Jerusalem, and they searched for him for 3 days, where they found him sitting in the temple among the teachers, listening and asking questions. They marveled at Jesus' understanding. His parents were dumbfounded to find him there, and they said, "Son, why have you treated us so?" They were very concerned about him. To them he answered, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" The text tells us they did not understand the saying he spoke to them. But Jesus must fulfill the law. He must honor 2 important commandments here: to put God first according to the first commandment, but also to honor his father and mother. What he said was in the scope of being Messiah, which is why they didn't understand. They had no idea what the job description of Messiah fully entailed. To fulfill the commandment regarding mother and father, Jesus is submissive and he goes with them. He does not argue with them. Mary is still taking in all these things, treasuring them up in her heart. The chapter ends with Jesus increasing in wisdom and nature, growing in favor with God and man. In your garden, there's this time when everything takes off, when everything seems to grow and produce exponentially. In the same respect, when people hit their growth spurts in life, they grow in size and strength, and their minds develop and think in ways they did not think before. Jesus is both God and man. His life will continue to unfold in powerful ways, demonstrating the power of God in the coming of his kingdom into the world. We are tied to this world, tied to our families, to people of the past. Significance and purpose is wrapped up in our histories. Jesus' history is wrapped up in Scripture. He is a descendant of Abraham, of Jacob, of Judah, of David. They are all now buried, yet God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. His Son is risen from the dead, the first fruits of God's powerful work, in which he will raise all who believe in him to eternal life, and we will live with him. Will you pray with me? Lord, Heavenly Father, establish your understanding in our hearts and lead us to the purposes for which you have made us. We thank you for the gracious mercy you've given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Ever keep us in this one true faith in you. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for the abundance which you have given us in this nation. We thank you for the love of family and friends. And we pray that you would help us all who love you and know you to live united in you. Lord, even as we live in this nation, we thank you for the freedom to live under you. And Lord, we look to your authority and your guidance, and we pray that you would help us to obey you rather than men, even as we live in this world. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. And as we remember the rest that our Lord gives us, especially in times of national observance, our special verse for the week comes from Matthew chapter 11. It actually starts at verse 28, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." All of our scriptures, all of our verses come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him love, the babe, the son of Mary, the babe, the son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Could Christian feed for sinners hear the silent word? Him through the cross be born for me and you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, a peasant king to own. Salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise the song on high, the virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary, the babe, the Son of my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures Never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. In my life, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. Is my life my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. Is my life's, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. We praise you, O God, our Redeemer, Creator, in grateful devotion our tribute we bring. We lay it before you, we kneel and adore you. We bless your holy name, glad praises we sing. We worship you, God of our fathers, we bless you. Through trial and tempest our guide you have been. When perils o'ertake us, you will not forsake us. And with your help, O Lord, our struggles we win. With voices united, our praises we offer, and gladly our songs of thanksgiving we raise. With you, Lord, beside us, your strong arm will guide us. To you, our great Redeemer, forever be praised. Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm hath bound the restless wave, who bids the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. Oh, Christ, the Lord of hill and plain, o'er which our traffic runs amain, by mountain pass or valley low, wherever, Lord, thy people go, protect them by thy guarding hand from every peril on the land. O Spirit, whom the Father sent to spread abroad the firmament, O wind of heaven, by thy might save all who dare the eagle's flight, and keep them by thy watchful care from every peril in the air. O Trinity of love and power, our people shield in danger's hour from rock and tempest, fire and foe. Protect them wheresoe'er they go. Thus evermore shall rise to thee glad praise from air and land and sea. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Fires of a hundred circling camps, they have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. That transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, Let us die to make men free. Wow, God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory.